Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
And time flies. As I always say, when you're kicking ass, we've done it now. Boy, for a while in D.C., and we've done it already for a month this season. This is surprising. 4 weeks into it, time flies when it comes to the NFL. Welcome. Week 4 edition, countdown to kickoff on The Fan, the Team 980. The Odyssey app, if you're out and about, or that's your preference. Thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. We have some international football today. I'll keep you up to date as much as we can throughout the day on the game in Ireland. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, still weird to say, against Carson Wentz and the Minnesota Vikings. Unbelievable, isn't it? Captain Carson, still getting it done. Hey, I looked at the papers, okay? Crazy. So that's getting underway right now. Well, about a half hour away. By the way, that game, you can listen to that or check it out, tune in if you want. Head over to 1580 AM for the morning game, Dublin, Ireland. I saw a picture from game day already over there. Overcast, dreary. What would you expect? The weather's miserable. Jeez, I mean, whatever. The International Series. By the way, if you haven't heard, and the Commanders are going to be part of this at Bernabeu Stadium, Madrid, when they play theirs in a few weeks. The Commissioner, Roger Goodell, said this week, last couple of days when for the game over there, as the International Series kicks off, that they're going to, the goal is to have 16 international games per season. So they want every team to play an international game each and every season somewhere. So that's the globalization of the NFL is well underway, and it's not going to be too long. You think they're not going to 18 games at least when that happens. So they're going to kick off in a few minutes. We'll get things going later today. This is a rare kind of deal now for the season for the Commanders, because after today, there is a nine-week stretch, 8 games over 9 weeks, where they do not play another 1 o'clock game. It's either late afternoon kicks, Monday night, Sunday night, holidays. Yeah, those are coming up soon. So the spoils of success are starting to kick in for the Commanders once they're done today. Just not a lot of 1 o'clocks anymore. And you as a fan base rooting for a bad team for so many years have gotten used to these 1 o'clock games. I grew up with Summerall and Madden at 4 o'clock because they didn't play at 1 p.m. You know, the garbage teams play early. The good teams play late and in prime time. This team now, you know, is being, at least for this season, treated like they should and not the cannon fodder that they have been for decades. Anyway, so this is a stretch. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit because of this and some weird schedules. Example, next week, we're going to be carrying the 9:30 a.m. game, the international game, so I'm going to be on for about 15 minutes next week for an abbreviated countdown to kickoff on The Fan. So bear with us. It's a much different season. It's fun. We've got a lot to talk about today because Dan Quinn gets to the podium on Friday, and he's running through the injuries. He always does that to start his press conferences. Friday, I mean, he's reeling off a list. He's like, would you stop, please? So not just Terry McLaurin out and Jaden Daniels out. Noah Brown's out again today. John Bates, tight end, is out again today. Bill, Jacory Kroski-Merritt barely even practiced this week. He's got a knee issue. He is questionable. They expect him to play. That's a report from Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, all saying he is expected to play. But this after, you know, we come out of the game on Sunday. They beat the Raiders. We'll discuss that here in a second. Kind of reflect on that big win and an impressive win for them, obviously, to get the 2-1 here and to bounce back from what was a debacle against the Packers. And still, everybody wants to say, yeah, it's early in the season, and, you know, don't worry about it. Just wait till we get a few months down the line where I was talking about. I think that that Packers loss would still potentially haunt them as we go on this season. But my goals are bigger than a lot of your goals. You know, some of you are just, you're so beat up by what's happened in previous years. You just want the team to be competitive, and you want your owner to be liked. And no, it's not. That's not what it's about. W's and L's. It's about wins and losses. That's all it's about in professional sports. Did you win? It's a good week. Did you lose? It's a bad week. Pretty simple. Cut and dry. They won last week, and that's a good thing. But they lose more players. And this is, you come into this week, we have only played 3 weeks of the season. They were without their quarterback one, their running back one, and their wide receiver one. Who thought that they could survive that? If we are in the final 3 weeks of the season, that'd be a huge concern. We are 3 weeks into it. They are without QB1, RB1, wide receiver one. Wow. And yeah, this is the nightmare scenario, really, that everyone, you know, had kind of talked about, hinted about, with Terry McLaurin, after what happened this summer, the hold out, hold in, whatever you want to call it, that it looks, I saw and I heard many of you talking about it, and some of them, some in my business, some here, get so upset where I don't want to hear about Terry McLaurin holding out and all of what went on, affecting what happened. You think that many of my old friends, colleagues, I saw on Twitter, on X, saying, well, how can you blame that? Well, you can't, but you can't not blame it. See, that's the thing. When you don't study for a test, kids, and you flunk the test, you can't say that not studying for it had no effect on it. If you goof off and you want to go out partying the night before and you show up and you get a B+ or an A, fine, good. Good on you. You win. But if you don't, then you can't say that wasn't a factor. So there's a lot of layers to this, and obviously probably a fluke thing that happened to him diving after the catch, and he hits the ground. And we still, you know, do we really know what the issue is? We kind of think we know. Here's what Mike Garafolo, the NFL Network's insider, had to say about the McLaurin injury late in the week.
I've got a little bit of good news here on Terry McLaurin, who has a quad, hip, groin. I mean, it's sort of been moving around here. And Ian Rappaport, our colleague, reported that he went to go see Dr. Myers in Philadelphia, the core muscle specialist. And I know a lot of people say, once you go to Dr. Myers, you're getting surgery from Dr. Myers. Well, my understanding is there will be no surgery, at least not right as of now. So that is the little bit of good news on Terry McLaurin, because any kind of core muscle surgery, you're talking anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. So that's not in the cards as of right now, sources have told me on that one. But at least the good news is it seems to be at least on the shorter end of things with the recovery from that injury that's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the good news, that it's not surgery and 6 to 8 weeks. That's the good news. The bad news is, we don't know still what the injury is. None of our business in the end. But if it is, and Rappaport was on this on NFL Network a couple of days before that, when this whole thing came out, and I was on the air doing updates Tuesday, and it came out that he was getting a second opinion, which raised some eyebrows. They tried to douse the flames, I know, and everyone in the media was doing it. Well, you know, it's just a second opinion. Don't worry about it. Oh, yeah, worry about it. Because if it's nothing, you don't get a second opinion. Okay, everybody, I don't get you guys sometimes. And don't believe anything they say in only half of what you see. Did you see him on the practice field? No. Did you see him at all this week? No. That's an issue. That's an issue. And if it's not 6 to 8 weeks, fine. No surgery right now, fine. You heard him say right now, because the way it sounds is you try to manage this and get back on the field, and it's going to be one of those, the first week of the offseason, you're going to hear that Terry McLaurin had core muscle surgery or something like that, that you try to attrit this situation to the end of the year. So you can say, well, it's, you know, at least it's not surgery. Okay. But this may be something now that your top wide receiver that just got paid top dollar, $32 million a year, but who's counting, he's going to deal with all year now. All year, all season long. And you as a team now have to deal with this potentially all season long. So Rappaport was saying middle of the week, everybody was speculating because we didn't know much. He was saying hip flexor more than core muscle, or what they were saying, quad injury. Those things, I mean, they happen all the time in the NFL. These are a couple of weeks, maybe two or three. My guess is it's going to be tough to see him next week in the trip to L.A. You probably, I'm guessing, if I had to say right now, you probably won't have him next week for a big game against a very good team on the road. So the McLaurin injury is a big deal, and we'll kind of get into more of that later in the show and what it means. But this is a banged-up team that I'm sitting here, we've talked 10 minutes already. We haven't even talked about the fact that your superstar quarterback is not playing again for a second straight week. That was the other obviously big topic for the week, with Jaden Daniels having that kind of pouty news conference and everybody's reading into his demeanor and into his short answers. He is pissed off that he can't play, and I don't blame him. And I love that about him, that he wants to be on the football field. My opinion, this is just my opinion, if you can play, you should play. Doctors probably don't think he can play right now, or they don't want to risk it. That's fine. This is their investment. This is their player. They can do what they want. But I'm of the no one's ever 100% school of thought when it comes to NFL, when it comes to life in general. You can't have things perfect 100%, 100% of the time. And he got clipped on the knee in Green Bay a couple weeks ago, and it's going to cost him at least a couple of weeks. So your top quarterback isn't playing. That means it's another Marcus Mariota game today. Wow, because he's looked great, but how many times? I brought this up last week going into the game. How many times can you call in him and expect him to come through? But he did again last week. Impressive win over the Raiders. You needed it. You got it. Mariota wins again as Washington quarterback. He's been perfect in that role. Winning games for him the last couple of years. John Keim, ESPN, spoke about it with the Junkies this week on The Fan, the Team 980. Just how impressive that offense has been when Mariota's played the last couple of years.
It has been. And I think last year I'd have been surprised. I was not surprised yesterday. The mild surprise is you didn't know how he'd respond after really not getting a lot of work this summer. Mm-hmm. And you saw, you know, he was taking over an offense that had obviously some key injuries. But one of the things in talking to players that really stands out for him with this offense is it's really made for him. And like when you talk to him, his eyes light up about playing in this offense because of the style of play, the tempo of the way the offense is run, but also the quick game, the RPOs, his ability to run and make plays. But he, you know, one thing some other players like he makes quick decisions. So, you know, only sacked one time, you know. So that I think that's why like they felt very confident with him in under center. And this and the other part is too, when he comes in for Jaden Daniels, the style of the offense doesn't have to change. Like mm-hmm. you can still do all the same things. And those runs that he has, like, you know, it hurt the Raiders. So, he does a good job. And I don't think I was all that, not that surprised, because given what players say and how much he likes operating in this offense.
Yeah. I got to tell you, John, I wasn't confident going into this game. I am sitting here, quite frankly, I'm stunned at how well they played from top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams. Man, this is one of the best wins, and it was without our best player. I mean, I'm just sitting here stunned.
It was impressive. It was very impressive for that reason, for the all-around aspect of it.
Yeah.
And now, offensively, I thought the thing that surprised me more was how well they ran the ball. But then when you dig into it, like the style of runs, gave the Raiders trouble because they were able to neutralize Max Crosby a lot of the time. But then I think the blocking was really good, and using Trent Scott instead of John Bates, I think, you know, that was you were able to offset that loss,
yeah,
at least in that way. And so
Yeah, and that way is going to be continuing today because you're not going to have John Bates again. You're not going to have your number one quarterback. And, oh, by the way, you're now number one running back in Bill. Jacory Kroski-Merritt is nursing a knee thing, a knee issue. He's going to play today. All reports are saying that's the key because you go down there, and what you're going to have to do is ugly up this game against, I know the Falcons got crushed a week ago. Did you hear what they said on Atlanta Sports Radio? By the way, this week, we are celebrating the merits of Mariota and how well he's been. He played quarterback down there for almost a full season just a few years ago. Here's what they're saying in Atlanta about facing Marcus Mariota.
If Marcus Mariota is quarterback in the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen in the bins.
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris,
what you say,
needs to be careful.
If we lose
to
Marcus Mariota next week,
I'm telling you,
I think Jaden Daniels is going to play. But if we lose to Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him. Period. I don't want to hear it after that.
That is 680 the Fan in Atlanta. They were saying early in the week, oh, Marcus Mariota is not coming down here and winning this game. Everybody should be fired if that happens. We can respect the job he's done, and it's credit to him and the coaching staff, Adam Peters, everybody, for bringing him in and being the setting influence, the backup to your superstar QB. But this is the kind of game, without your running back one, without your top wide receiver, with so many people banged up, that you need your young stud superstar quarterback on the road in a tough place that they're going to look for a bounce back. Falcons have a bye week, so this is a huge game for them today. This is where you need your young star quarterback to kind of step up and do something special and steal a game, get a win on the road. They don't have him. They have Marcus Mariota today at quarterback. So this is all just a lot on the plate today. As we are just getting started, we'll keep you up to date on Sunday morning football throughout the day. They're going to kick it off in about 15 minutes. Earl Forsey, countdown to kickoff, just cranking things up on a Sunday on The Fan and the Team 980. It is shockingly a beautiful Sunday morning in D.C. Man, the weather's been awful. If I see another weather person on TV tell me how we really need the rain, I'm going to come through that television angle. We don't need rain for about the next 9 months, okay? You can have it. Beautiful day today, thankfully. Gorgeous Sunday morning. Earl Forsey with you, The Fan, the Team 980, the Odyssey app. Wes Clark is our producer today. I didn't in the first segment get to the thing that caught my eye this morning, getting things set up for the show, that really is, I think, one of the big stories today. Have you looked at the line on this game? The Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite now for this game. This opened at 3.5 for Washington. It quickly dropped. It was down to basically 1.5 most of the week. And we had the full swing this weekend that a lot of the people that rely on it to make some money don't think the Commanders are going to go down there with everybody injured and the backup quarterback again and win this game. So don't sell Atlanta short. I mean, they got hammered by the Panthers. They got pounded. That's a terrible loss. 30-0 to that team, but they have things that can be a problem for Washington, even though they've been really good defensively. Bijan Robinson, one of the best backs in football. I know Kyle Pitts has been a disappointment, but it's a tight end that potentially, you know, they can't cover any tight ends. This defense, no matter who the coach is, who the players are, what era it is, what decade it is, who the owner is, it doesn't matter. They can't cover tight ends. Oh, and they have a really good receiver, too, and Drake London. The secondary's been good, but don't sell them short in what is really an early season backs-to-the-wall game for the Falcons today in Atlanta. But we'll discuss this a little bit later in the hour, the uncertainty now of just what to expect from the Commanders in this game. What they got last week, I talked about all of this. Everything I talked about, countdown to kickoff, came true last week. Raiders on a short week. That was a tough trip. Check. Coming to East Coast for a 1 p.m. kick. Check. They needed explosive plays, what I said. Check. Because Jalen Lane made that happen. The rookie out of Virginia Tech was able to have a big punt return for a touchdown. Really a back-breaking play for the Commanders in the win last week. He talked about it. And his contribution early this season, his rookie season with Grant and Danny this week on the Fan.
Yeah, man, I knew the call we had. I knew we had a vice on the Gunners, so I was like, I wasn't worried about them getting down. I was just seeing what kind of kick it was, what kind of hang, and you know, he's a good punter, so when he kicks it good, he's gonna outkick his coverage, and you know, I felt like I had space, and then if you just look at it, man, I just had to make one guy miss. Everybody else was blocked up. So, you know, sure, I get the credit on the stat sheet, but my punt return team, they put in work for sure.
How soon after you catch that ball and you're matriculating up the field as you're talking about, how soon after that do you know, dude, I'm going to score? Like, at what point in the run are you like, this is a touchdown? Like, when did you know?
It was right after I kind of got through that first little hole. And then I saw it was open field, and then the punter, I was like, oh, this is six. So I just made sure I just outrun it. I was like, I got to hit the Jets. If I get caught, then I'm not going to hear the end of it from anybody. So
what about the punter, though? What was your level of confidence? Because
he made a good effort, honestly.
It was closer than I thought to him actually tackling you when I went back and watched it. How sure were you that he was not going to prevent you from your first touchdown?
I mean, you know, I'm very confident in my abilities, and like, no offense to any punter anywhere. I love Tressway. But you know, we get paid to make people miss, and then, you know, that's the last one of the last people you want to let tackle you, especially on a big play like that. So you got to make it happen.
It seems to be you guys on teams are really taking advantage in terms of returns. Obviously, your ability is evident. It's obvious how quick you are in the burst, getting upfield, et cetera. But both in terms of coverage and of returns, it feels like you guys are a little bit ahead of your opponents right now in terms of that. A, is that the feeling that you have? And B, where does that come from?
I think it just comes from just our standards that we set from ourselves way back in OTAs. You know, the first meeting that I ever had with Coach Izzo was yelling fast and physical. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be a violent unit on all phases of the game. And, yeah, even back from week one to Green Bay and to now, you see big returns, you see big plays on punt and kickoff, things like that. And, you know, that's just kind of the standard we have for our team.
Yeah, and, you know, part of that has been Deebo Samuel has been terrific, too, and had broke a big one to start the game last week on the kick. So, yeah, special teams have been good. That's Jalen Lane, big contributor last week. That's the kind of guy and the kind of play you need someone to step up and steal a game when you're still shorthanded, even more so now this week on the road today in Atlanta. So guys like Jalen Lane, not necessarily maybe him, but someone maybe you're not expecting to step up and make a big play, that could be a key if you want to go down there and win a game. That's a challenge, as shorthanded as you are today for the Commanders. We will hear from a player who's not going to play today, but he's been a big key and joins B. Mitch and J.P. Finley every week. Tight end John Bates spoke to them again this week, and again, he will be out again, groin injury. Hopefully he's getting closer now to a return to play, but we'll hear from the big tight end when we return his perspective on where things are 3 weeks into the season. Earl Forsey, countdown to kickoff on the Fan and the Team 980. This is football the way it was meant to be. Sunday mornings on the Fan, the Team 980, Odyssey app, Earl Forsey. Kicking ass for decades in this town. Do you think I'm stopping now? I'm not leaving. Why would I stop? It's too much fun. And we have a football team that's good again. Thank goodness. Except today, this is a challenge for the Commanders. I played it for you early if you weren't with us from the top. Marcus Mariota gets a start today. Obviously, no Terry McLaurin. Commanders are now an underdog, a 2.5-point underdog, and getting no respect from the folks down in the ATL.
If Marcus Mariota is quarterbacking the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen in the bins.
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris,
what you say,
needs to be careful.
If we lose
about
Marcus Mariota next week,
I'm telling you,
I think Jaden Daniels is going to play. But if we lose Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him. Period. I don't want to hear it after that.
That was 680 the Fan in Atlanta this week, basically saying if that guy comes down here and beats us, our coach should be fired. That's how little respect the Commanders and a beat-up, banged-up Commanders team without their top QB, that's how little the folks down there, coming off a 30-0 shellacking, an embarrassing loss, that's how little they respect their former quarterback, Marcus Mariota, who's going to be the starter again today for the Commanders. Guy he won't have, unfortunately, to throw to is the tight end, John Bates. He'll be out a second straight week with a groin injury, but he does join B. Mitch and J.P. Finley every week on The Fan. Didn't have a front row seat for the win, had a press row seat for the win, and told them what he thought of last week's dominating victory.
Yes, it was a great thing to watch. Running back room had a great game, offensive line, tight ends, moving guys off the line of scrimmage. It was a fun one to watch for sure.
when you're not playing, one thing about me, hell, I've been out the game for, 20-something years here, John, and I still lose my mind when I'm watching the game because, I see the intimate things happening, the inside thing. Do you get like that when you're not on the field?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely is like that. Like, you kind of get a different perspective from obviously a player's perspective, but like when you're sidelined and watching from, you know, up top, you get to see a whole nother vantage point of the ball game. And so, it's just really cool to see like the run game develop and, yeah, you know, some of the big runs that hit and the success that we had. And then obviously the run game was working when we needed to pass, it opened up the pass game. So it was just a great all around performance from the offense, I thought.
Physically, where were you? Up top with like the coaches and stuff?
They had this like just a couple guys up top in like the box and stuff like that watching. Gotcha. So it was kind of a fun though vantage point because you really got to see the plays develop from start to finish up there, which is fun. Like J-Max, big run that he had. Yeah. Everyone that I was with, we all started standing up as soon as we saw him breaking out of that tackle. Terry's big catch that he had that. Mm-hmm. Thought still this was a touchdown. We all stood up going crazy as soon as he made that second move on the corner. So kind of a different perspective, rather be playing, but still kind of fun to watch from that point of view. I mean, it was like really my first time being like in a stadium up that high watching the game. And you just get to see the whole thing pop and develop, like Debo's opening kickoff return.
Oh yeah.
Like as soon as he catches the ball and he gets to probably like 20-yard line, you just see the seam in the middle split open and everyone and stand it up, hit it, Debo, hit it, and he hits it right up the middle and obviously has that big gain. So now it's fun watching from that perspective.
What's the psyche, the mindset around the team, John, going into this week against Atlanta?
I think really just, you know, kind of getting better and just building off of what we did last week. I think we had a good game all around, special teams. You know, obviously we had couple big-time kickoff returns, punt return for a touchdown. Offense was able to run the ball well, throw it down the field when we needed to. And then defense did a great job of, you know, getting after the quarterback and containing him in the pocket and stopping the run. And also, you know, great pass defense too. So I think it's obviously it's a reset. What we did last week was great, but we have a new opponent this week. And so kind of just, you know, a hard reset for everyone and getting, focused on Atlanta and just trying to, you know, go out there and improve off of what we did last week, I think.
John, you talked about your different vantage point. What was your vantage point when DQ got trucked on the sideline by Mariota?
we couldn't really see it too good from where we at. We just saw Marcus like run out of bounds and we saw someone go down. But there was like a little TV where we were sitting on. They showed the replay of DQ getting hit because he like it showed him on the TV screen. His face was bleeding. We were all like, "What the heck just happened?"
And then they showed the replay, and I mean, DQ's a tough SOB now, and he took a friggin' shot on the sideline, but he bounced back up, and everyone, when we went into halftime, didn't really know what the deal was, because obviously he got banged up pretty good, but he came back friggin' full of energy, hyping everyone up. Everyone was stoked to see him, bringing everyone up together and breaking us out going into halftime. So, no, he's a awesome leader, tough as nails.
John, without you out there, it seemed like they leaned on Sennett more. What do you think of Ben's performance and trying to step in your dominant run blocking shoes?
No, Ben did a great job. Ben does a great job just coming in every single week and putting his head down and working. And, you know, before he probably wasn't getting too very many snaps, but, you know, he prepares like he's going to play for a full game. And, you know, he went out there with the full confidence. And I think everyone in our room has the confidence in him to go out there and to perform at a high level too. And I think he did a great job of just going out there and playing, not trying to do too much, not trying to put on a superhero cape and do what I do or do what, you know, Zach does or anyone else does. He was just, you know, Ben Sennett. He was himself, went out there, played hard, had some great, you know, hustle plays downfield. Zach had a sweet catch going in towards our tunnel, and, you know, he was in the flat and he rolled up and peeled back and got a nice shot to spring Zach a couple more yards and just a couple more effort plays like that on a couple quarterback runs. But no, it was just great to see him go out there and play with confidence and be himself, because everyone in our room knows how good of a player he is. And so it was just great to see him go out there and do what he does.
Obviously, you want Jaden out there all the time. But without Jaden out there, what is the feeling in the confidence level in Marcus?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it changes. Marcus is a, you know, he's a one-of-one guy. He's a pro's pro. The way he comes in every single day, a lot of people don't see the work he puts in, but he prepares like he's going to play every single week. He may not be getting the first team reps, obviously, up until like last week, but I mean, walkthroughs, he's sitting back behind everyone that's watching, and he's taking mental reps for, you know, every single play. He's going through the operation on his own. You know, he's in there early in the morning watching film and doing stuff that doesn't get seen and recognized. And so we know how good of a quarterback Marcus is and what he puts into the game. And obviously it's a result of how he played. You know, he went out there and he managed the game and the way the coaches wanted him to do. And, you know, he made plays when he needed to, and it was just great to see him. And everyone's got, you know, the utmost confidence in eight when he's out there for us.
Really good perspective. Tight end John Bates, a weekly guest now this season of B. Mitch and J.P. Finley on The Fan. And, you know, he's talking about the quarterback that they're going to have to lean on again today. Backup quarterbacks in the NFL, even now more so than ever, have become so important. Basically, if you want to make a run, and a serious run, you know, in the old days, I mean, the old Redskins played one of those teams that won a Super Bowl, basically with a backup quarterback in Super Bowl VII. Bob Greasy was injured much of the year. Earl Morrill came in and led them to the Super Bowl. Now, Greasy got the start in the Super Bowl, but it's happened before. Kurt Warner, basically, you know, the old story, and was a backup before he, by injury, had to come in and led that team to the promised land. It's happened, but it doesn't happen much. I mean, I guess you could say Brady too, but that's a different deal with a guy who became the GOAT. This is a veteran QB who's had multiple failed stops in the NFL, like Jaden Daniels, a high draft pick, number two pick, Marcus Mariota, that's been called on now for a couple of seasons to get it done. And this is why he's here for one or two games. The JD5 injury, though, this can't linger much longer. You can't have this go on, because you're facing Los Angeles Chargers next week, in a couple of weeks Dallas, then at Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit after that. You ain't winning those games with Marcus Mariota. Maybe you can squeak by and get it done today, but it's not just the quarterback where they are shorthanded. We'll discuss that to wrap up hour number one of the big show on a Sunday. Earl Forsey, countdown to kickoff on The Fan and the Team 980. Hour one's almost done as we continue countdown to kickoff on The Fan. The Team 980, the Odyssey app, football's underway for this Week 4 Sunday. Vikings and Steelers in Dublin, Ireland. I'm from Dublin. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers against Carson Wentz and the Minnesota Vikings. 3-0 Vikes. First quarter about midway through that to kick off your NFL Sunday. Say hi to Lily the Husky, who's next to me. Husky dad time too now. She's just sleeping. Listen to the show. Hopefully you're not. As we get things done for hour number one. The shorthanded Commanders, again, backup QB, no Terry McLaurin. It looks like Bill Crosky Merritt is going to play. That's all the reports. He'd miss most of the week of practice. Knee issue for him, but he is going to play today, reportedly. This Terry McLaurin situation, we come out of the game last week watching it. I personally didn't think anything of it. McLaurin had stretched out after that catch, not called a touchdown. So many of you were bent out of shape. It should have been a touchdown. Stop. It's not a priority that he got a touchdown out of it. They were fine. So many of you worry about insignificant stuff. It's amazing to me. Many of you have to learn how to be football fans of a good team again, really, in this town. Stop with that stuff. But the fact is, when he stretched, apparently, I guess that's when the injury happened for McLaurin, because, and here's, you come out of the game, he didn't return, and they said, oh, he's got a quad. You're thinking, okay, maybe he got banged up on the play. They didn't need him. Game was in hand, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Then we get to Tuesday, and it's, he's getting a second opinion. Really? And then he doesn't practice. Really? And then he might need surgery was kind of a thing. He went to a doctor where it's a core muscle guy. Then you're thinking, oh, my goodness, that escalated quickly. And for him, at least, it's not a surgical situation. No surgery needed at this point have been the reports. So not this week, maybe a couple of week thing, maybe two or three at least, probably. But this week, certainly McLaurin is out. And then everybody started, well, you see, you miss camp, and that's what happens. Well, and then there was the other side of it. There's two camps. That was one. The other one was, well, you can't blame it on that. It happened. Things happen. People get hurt in football. What about this guy? What about that guy? But here's the deal. And I told you at the top of the hour, when you go through what he did and don't participate basically in camp, if something happens, you can't say that wasn't a factor. See, you're not getting, because you know that is going to be the narrative. You better hope everything is smooth sailing and no problems, because once an issue does crop up, everybody's going to say, oh, see? And that's what's happened with McLaurin. Now, the DOC, Doc Walker, the Super Bowl champion, you listen to him every week on the Team 980. He had some thoughts on this about McLaurin and the team, both sides. You know, the old Ken Beatrice used to say, a pox on both their houses. Basically, that's Doc's take on this, that they are both paying the price now for how that whole situation with the contract was handled this summer.
You know what happens when a guy's body's not ready for combat? Everybody loses. So for next year in the summer, when we start doing all this, can we kind of get it done earlier in camp? Because really, who really wins if one guy gets a bag, then his body breaks down on him? Or the scheme doesn't even know who he is anymore. Everybody what? Loses. So there is no winner. So if you, management thinks, we got him under our, now you're paying for it this way. I'm not taking either side. I'm just saying, can we be all for the burgundy and gold? Do you want to win or not? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Green Bay passing game was awful. This was money. We don't even know who's going to play. That happens, part of the sport. But can you look in the mirror and say you actually won in that negotiation? Can either side? Are we going to pay a price? Who was selfish? Y'all work it out amongst yourselves. But for goodness gracious, can we try to avoid this so we're not doing this next year? Because if you're proud of what you've been seeing and what in that, I'm proud that we won. But I expected us to be like the butcher. Like we was going to be rolling through people, slitting their throats, and not even looking back to see if they're breathing. That is not the case.
No, it is not, Doc. And, you know, he's right. Basically blame on everybody. And everybody's losing in this. And Doc said it there. You know, from the team perspective, we wanted this kind of contract. From McLaurin, I want to be a top three paid receiver. Everybody kind of got what they wanted in that deal. And Doc's point is valid. Now what? Now, where did it get you? Out for week four. And maybe, who knows, looking ahead. Probably not just a one-week deal. And how much does that help you? You got a great deal. Congratulations. Pat on the back. How does that help you week four? Against, by the way, we can talk about the Falcons and how it was an embarrassment for them last week and blank 30-0 by Carolina. The Falcons, even with that shellacking, they have the second overall defense in the NFL. They have the number one pass defense in the NFL. Now, the offense has been putrid, but there's weapons there. And, you know, one game you go down there and suddenly maybe this is the one that Bijan Robinson wakes up. You just don't know. And you go in there with one hand tied behind your back. The second defense rated overall in the NFL, this is where your superstar quarterback would need to step up on the road and make something happen, which we know Jaden Daniels can do with regularity. And yet he is not playing because of his knee injury. So this is, it's not a good situation for the Commanders. It's this in Marcus Mariota, we trust as a backup, but that, oh, and our one, the way I, what I talked about last week with Marcus Mariota, at some point that pumpkin changes back into a pumpkin. The carriage goes back into a pumpkin. It strikes midnight at some point. You better hope the clock doesn't strike midnight today down in Atlanta. Earl Forsey, hour one done. Earl Forsey countdown to kickoff on the Fan, the Team 980.